Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. By the way, this segment of the show brought to you by the United Labor Agency. They connect people with employment. Here's the number, 216-664-4309, or check them out online at ulagency.org. Right now, let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, Dorsey Hager, Executive Director of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You can find them online at columbusconstructiontrades.org. And I'll tell you, if you've been following the media, you've been seeing what's going on in Central Ohio. My gosh, a lot of building going on. And I see in population, it is expanding dramatically compared to other parts of the state. And I'm sure Dorsey Hager is taking all the credit for that. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the broadcast.
Well, there is myself, and there's probably one or two other people of this city of 900,000 that could probably share in a little bit of the credit. But sure, since we're on your show and this is my interview, I'll take all the credit for Columbus becoming the 14th largest city in the country and surpassing San Francisco. I think San Francisco was 15th. We just passed them. We're 14th, and we're the second largest city in the Midwest, only behind Chicago. So
that's amazing. Well, I'll tell you, you got one heck of a college down there called the Ohio State University. So I'm sure a lot of the growth, I mean, there's so many people. I think 25% of their enrollment is from northeastern Ohio. I know I have three kids that went there, and they still keep going back. I mean, it's an awesome place. There's no question about that.
It is, and I think what was said in the article that I read on the internet that was citing the stats was that obviously Ohio State draws a lot of people here because of the education. You know, there's research, there's development, there's science, there's medical fields and stuff. But then when a lot of young adults get here and they graduate, they tend to stay here because they like the city, they like the community. Unemployment is low, the cost of living is low, taxes are low, there's plenty of affordable housing. It's just a good place to live and raise a family. And the other thing that I saw that was very interesting in the article was that they're saying that our metropolitan population could increase, could almost double in size in the next 35 years, and the population of the city could increase in the next 30 years by another 300,000 people. So, you know, that's going to present a lot of issues, a lot of problems, a lot of challenges for the city, the community, our leaders. And we're trying to do what we can to keep pace with that, to make sure that Columbus not only grows, but also, you know, as the mayor says, is America's opportunity city, creates opportunities for everybody to live and do well and raise a family and be able to, you know, to achieve that American dream. I think that's what everybody here is interested in, but it's a great place to be. I've lived in Central Ohio most of my life, and I've enjoyed every day that I've been here.
I think they call that shared prosperity.
Shared prosperity. That's a great term. Whoever came up, that is absolutely, that's a great term. Shared prosperity.
Yeah, you want it to grow. And you know what we've seen over the years, we talk about this quite often on the show, productivity has gone up, my gosh, dramatically since the 70s. There's a lot of automation. Obviously, technology has a lot to do with it. But when it comes to wages, and you know this all too well, Dorsey, wages haven't kept pace. And even in your neck of the woods, in construction, I've seen a couple of studies showing that when you factor in inflation, you really haven't gone anywhere when it comes to those wages.
No, that's true. Wages haven't kept pace. And also, you know, building trades unions are a little different than other public sector unions, whereas, you know, we take care of all of our health, all our medical, all our pension benefits. So unfortunately, the last 10 or 15 years, any wage increases that we've gotten, a lot of them have been eaten up by our health care funds and our pension and annuity funds, you know, to make sure that they keep pace and you know, and our members can be able to not only have good health insurance so they can take care of themselves while they're healthy, but also when they're older and when they're sick so that they can retire with dignity and respect.
That's,
you know,
what it's
so,
all about.
So yeah, you're right. Wages haven't kept up. And that's one thing that I think that we've got to do. And I think that a lot of people are starting to see that the strength of Ohio, and specifically Central Ohio, is our working class. And if we don't have strong labor unions, then that working class suffers. And then that's going to be a burden on everybody, not only the poor, but it's also going to be a burden on the well-to-do or the upper middle class or even the wealthy, because they're going to have to pay more in their fair share in taxes. which I know that nobody wants to do. You know, everybody wants to keep taxes in check. But if the middle class keeps shrinking, and if wages keep stagnating for the middle and working class, then that extra tax revenue is going to have to come from somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you see taxes going up, and you see health care costs going up, so it's no wonder that wages have been stagnant when it comes down to, you know, what you take home with. Well, this is a perfect segue, Dorsey, with the City of Columbus Labor Advisory Council that you want to talk about. Can you explain what's going on down there?
Yeah, so Mayor Andy Ginther is in his second term. Of course, you know, we've talked in the past, he had huge support of a lot of the building trades unions, Columbus Central Ohio building trades, and a lot of the labor, you know, unions and the labor council here in Central Ohio. And he's done a wonderful job as mayor. He's really taken a hold of the office and made the job his own. And some of the things that he's cared about, even way back in his days when he was on Columbus City School Board before he went on to Columbus City Council, now mayor, is he really cares about working families. He cares about the poverty rates. He cares about infant mortality and some of the struggling neighborhoods in Columbus. And Columbus is not, you know, is not new to this. A lot of communities, a lot of big cities around the country, you know, we just talked about a comparison with Columbus and Chicago. Unfortunately, a lot of the neighborhoods are lagging behind in the prosperity, and he's seeing the income gaps in these neighborhoods compared to some of the other neighborhoods where the well-to-do or maybe upper-middle-class people reside. And unemployment is low in Columbus, but the wages haven't kept up. And that's affecting some of our neighborhoods and especially some of our poorer communities. So he's put together this Labor Advisory Council, brought some of the best and sharpest people on his own staff, Brian Clark, Emerald Hernandez, Barry Pickett, who's the labor liaison for the mayor. And he's also put on there myself from Labor, Tim Skinner, Ed Moore from IBEW 683, Michael Freeman from the Carpenters, just some Rodney French from the Sheet Metal Workers, just some really great guys. And we had our first meeting last week, and we basically just talked about, you know, again, the mayor's concerns, you know, keeping wages rising in the city, making sure everybody has an opportunity to do well, making sure that they're on that path to the middle class. And he's really, really pushed our agenda that you've heard me talk about so many times on your show about our apprenticeship program. So we're going to partner with the mayor. We're working on a community benefit agreement on Fire Station 35 on the east side, which is going to have a lot of his initiatives in there that we can do specific targeted outreach in the neighborhoods that are kind of lagging, you know, in Columbus and Central Ohio, to try to get a lot of those people into our programs to put them onto that direct path to the middle class. So very appreciative of the mayor's hard work, his leadership, his passion, you know, in order to put this together. And we all had a great meeting the other day. It was, again, our first one. We're going to meet again here very soon. And it's just a great opportunity for everybody, and it's a way for us, the building trades unions, to give back to the communities and also, like I said, to recruit, get a lot of these women, minorities, Latinos, new Americans into our programs so we resemble the neighborhoods, the cities, the communities, the county that we live and work in.
Dorsey, do you have like a strategic plan on this? Has it gotten to that stage where, you know, this is where you want to be in 5, 10, 15 years?
It hasn't gotten there yet, but I know a lot of the conversation we talked about is a lot of the issues that we've talked about on your show. You know, one is raising wages. Now, how do we do that? Do we do that with a minimum wage increase? You know, do we do that with specific targeting of tax increments and also tax abated, you know, properties? A lot of times you can entice developers to go into some of our neighborhoods like Linden or Franklinton or the Hilltop or Driving Park or the South Side, you know, because they're going to have a lot of risk. So you help share in the risk with them with tax abatements. But then again, you make sure that they're doing well by themselves and being good corporate citizens by giving people that live in those neighborhoods the opportunity to work on those projects and also to be employed there. So we haven't gotten real specific. We just kind of had broad strokes. But I think with this community benefit agreement that's about ready to be rolled out, it's not finalized yet. We're still working on some of the specifics. We're still drafting it. I think this is going to be a first real shot in the arm that's going to be good, that's going to show that the mayor has partnered with the building trades and the labor unions of Central Ohio, and he does care about the working people and the working class, and he's going to, you know, work closely with us as we're going to work with him to try to make, you know, Columbus an even better city to live in. So nothing specific yet. Like I said, a lot of broad strokes, a lot of general ideas, but there's a lot of good people in that room that have a lot of ideas, and I think that are going to do well and do well right, you know, do right and do well by the mayor and do right by the city.
I take it this is something of your own creation. Is there any other kind of a roadmap? Has this been used or approached in other cities, and any results that have come forward?
That's funny you said that, because I was looking and, I was doing some research and looking for some ideas from other cities, and I've really never seen anything like this. You know, there's a lot of private-public partnerships with the city in Columbus State, the city in Ohio State, you know, and stuff like that. But with us in the building trades, you know, the partnership is going to be, you know, a lot of effort and a lot of time, I think, because the city sees that our apprenticeship programs, you know, like we've talked about, are tuition-free, you know, path to the middle class, earn while you learn, you know, all the stuff that makes parents sit up and take notice when we go to these job fairs. So I just think that the mayor has seen, much like the county has seen with our project labor agreement on the county jail that we talked about last month, I think that they've seen that, you know, here we can use these taxpayer dollars wisely. We're going to build this new fire station. We're going to invest in these neighborhoods. We want the building trades getting high school graduates from Columbus City Schools and young adults that are recent graduates, you know, that live in the city, and giving them the first crack at these opportunities to help be a part of the solution as opposed to part of the problem.
Boy, I know you and I have talked about that so many times. You think about, you know, when you say tuition free, you know, I'm sure there's some people saying, oh, am I going to go to Ohio State for free? We're talking about the trades here. And you can earn while you learn. That's the important thing. And so much, there's so many wonderful programs out there. I just wish more kids would take advantage of them, because there's, as you know, Dorsey, jobs are waiting for them right now, aren't they?
Jobs are waiting for them. I mean, I know it's the same across the state. There's some areas that are higher or lower than others, and I know that's how the mayor started the meeting off with his first statement, was his big, and God bless Mayor Ginther, he's a big picture guy. You know, of course, there's a lot of, we get caught up in the day-to-day monotony of our jobs and our lives, but he's a big picture guy. And like I said, he's looking at the growth of the city over the next 30 years, and he's like, you know, guys, we got to think about this next generation of skilled laborers, you know, insulators, electricians, pipe fitters, plumbers, welders, operating engineers, who's going to build these roads, bridges, buildings, offices, schools, medical centers, hospitals, data centers, who's going to do this work in the future? We have all these kids here. We have, you know, your programs, your facilities in place. We have the tools to get them and train them. That's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to do. We've got to get these kids ready, because, like I said, this city is not slowing down. It's amazing how we just keep growing, you know, not only jobs and population, but also opportunities. You know, we've talked about Amazon. We've talked about Sofidel. We've talked about, the gas-powered plant that's coming in 2 years just south of the city. You know, and that's on top of all the municipal work that needs to be done. These cities, these counties, the city of Columbus with their water treatment plants, there's a ton of maintenance and new construction to be done just to keep up, you know, and we've got to have people to do that work as we get squeezed from both ends. As the baby boomers retire and as the economy grows and as the city grows, and there's work there for everybody, you know, we've got to get these kids and these young adults into our programs and give them these opportunities so they can reinvest in our cities and our communities.
That's what it's all about. All right, Dorsey Hager joining us on our live line. Dorsey is Executive Director of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You can find a lot of this information online at columbusconstructiontrades.org. We're going to continue the conversation. Also, we have Mother Jones, one of the reporters who we had on the show a couple of times, Julie Laurie, will be joining us, talking about the genius who helped unlock the human genome, now taking on the opioid crisis. Yeah, interesting story. She'll talk about that. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
For over 20 years, organized labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for communications and events needs, because BMA knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to help unions capture market share, conduct marketing campaigns, partake in political education, promote labor management, organize membership development, and support issues such as prevailing wage, project labor agreements, responsible contracting, and workforce training. They also plan and produce special events such as conventions, conferences, and anniversary celebrations. The BMA Media Group, marketing union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit bmamedia.com. That's www.bmamedia.com for all the labor tools you need to move your union into the future.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our Raising Wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Dorsey Hager, talking about what's happening in Central Ohio. Dorsey heads the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Okay, talk to me about this political screening that's going on in your neck of the woods.
Well, every year getting ready for the political season, we screen candidates, and you and I have talked about this in the past. Not only is it give us the opportunity to get to meet and to get to know all these candidates, whether they're Republican, whether they're Democrat, Independent, we have some Green Party candidates, but it also gives them an opportunity to come in and sit with us, to let them know who we are, what we do, and what issues are important to us. And that's what we all do. We have a great committee. IBW was represented this year, Dennis Nicodemus, Rodney French, Tim Skinner, Danny McHale from the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters, Scotty Emmett from the Insulators, Marv Cochran from the Roofers. So we had a great nucleus, Bill Hewlett from the Bricklayers, Joe Kreitzer from IUPAT. We had a great nucleus of guys, and it was nice to have these candidates come in where we could educate them on our issues, prevailing wage, right to work, community workforce development, which we're doing a lot, our apprenticeship programs, you know, all these good things that maybe a lot of them didn't know about but obviously had learned. And this year was nice because it was an odd-numbered year, so we didn't have county commissioners. Mm-hmm. We didn't have state house reps. We didn't have state senators. We had a lot of judicial candidates. We had a lot of city council candidates. And we had a lot of school board candidates. So it was really nice. The city attorney is up. Obviously, Zach Klein and Don Klein are the two candidates running for city attorney. Zach Klein's president of the Columbus City Council. I think he's got the leg up. For Columbus City Attorney, I think he'll do a great job. And then Megan Kilgore is looking to replace Hugh Dorian for City Auditor. Our City Auditor, Hugh Dorian, has been here on the job for 44 years. And Megan Kilgore has been his mentor, and she is looking to step in and take over. So we got to sit down and talk to all of them about a lot of the issues, and it was just a good day of screening. And then we take those recommendations as a committee to our full board on June 13th. We'll vote on the candidates, either endorsement, no endorsement, or dual endorsement, and then I'll get the communications out right away to let these folks know where they stand. So it was really a good day, a long day, a full day, but a good day.
You learn a lot in these meetings, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. You learn where people, where they are on the issues. You learn on where their passions are, and then you learn how you can connect. You know, you and I have talked on your show in the past. You know, a lot of people, you know, look at an office like school board, and they really don't take the time to educate themselves on the members that are on their school board. Well, you know, township trustee, judges, school board, those are some of the most important offices that you can vote for. Everybody gets tied up in their congressperson or their senator mm-hmm. or the president, but those are the people that affect their lives on a day-to-day basis. And, I mean, you know, school board, again, you know, I think that's important because they're the ones in charge with taking care of the money, taking care of the taxes, taking care of the levies and the bond, and making sure that they have the right people in place to educate, you know, that next generation of people in that city. And there are some tremendous school board candidates. And, of course, they kind of screened us a little bit. They wanted to talk about our programs, what they could do to get middle school kids, high school kids that maybe aren't interested in going to college or maybe don't have the appetite or maybe can't afford to go to college, you know, what they can do to get them interested in electrical or HVAC or sheet metal or welding so that way they can get them into our building trades program. So it was a really good day. It was nice to talk to all the candidates, and our committee did a hell of a job, worked their butts off, and I think they really enjoyed it.
You know, you raise a good point about elections because obviously presidential elections get all the play. And then you have Congress and, you know, with the senators and the House races and all that. But in the odd years, that's when you have the municipal elections. That's when you vote on your local judges, as you indicated, the school board, city council, places like that, areas like that. And these are the ones that affect your lives the most. You think about, for instance, a municipal judge. And I know this because I work for a municipal court here in Ohio, here in Cleveland, I should say. But, you know, talk about traffic, drugs, domestic violence, veterans issues. A lot of these courts have specialized dockets that deal with them, and they're very, very hands-on. So it's all that more important that you pay very, very close attention to these races, because these are the ones, if you're going to have a court case, chances are it's going to be on a municipal level. You follow me, Dorsey?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And those are some of the questions. I mean, we talk about labor issues to the judges, but, you know, those are the big issues, too. We talk about veterans affairs, you know, because we have veterans coming back that maybe have been deployed that are having some issues, either PTSD or maybe some issues with family stuff, with, you know, divorce or child support, stuff like that. And then, obviously, the big problem here in the city and in the county, which is the problem nationwide, every day you read about it in the paper, is the opioid abuse. So I talked to the municipal court judges how they, you know, what are some of their thoughts on that with the opioid abuse with people coming in front of them. So, yeah, those are really important. We have four huge municipal judge races coming up in the county this year, and they're all very important. And I think that we did a good job screening those candidates. We're going to try to get that information out to our members, and we hope our members and their families and their friends do a good job educating themselves as well, because, you know, these are very important races that they vote on.
Absolutely. Okay, one more issue here. Dad's Day Sporting Clay Shoot, and this is going to happen in August, August 11th to be exact. Now, what's going on here?
Black Wing Shooting Supply in Delaware, which is the city just to the north of us, one county. We're going to have our Sporting Clay Shoot. We mixed it up this year. We're going to do it on a Friday, have registration at 8, probably eat a little breakfast at 9, go out, shoot on the course for a couple hours, come in at lunch, give away prizes and awards. But the biggest thing, not only is it a day for all of us to get together and share some camaraderie outside of the office or off the job site, but also it's raising funds for Dollars Against Diabetes, Dad's Day, that go on to the national building trades that is spent on research and trying to, you know, not only to find a cure, but also to help battle this terrible disease that so many people are afflicted with. So we've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars in the past years that we've done this. Last year we had a good year. We raised over $6,200 with this single shoot alone. We're going to try to surpass that goal this year, and I know the guys love to do it. They're excited about it. They really enjoy it, and we're gonna make sure that we do it again this year and have a good time, but also raise some money.
And that, again, is going to be August 11th. I would imagine that'll be all posted on your website, too, for people interested?
Absolutely. Yep, post it on the website, and I'll make sure I get the newsletter out and get all the information out to everybody, Facebook, everything. Should be a great event. And I'll tell you one quick story if we have time.
Sure.
Last year I had a young lady at Ohio State University that was an assistant of mine, and I'm going to embarrass her now, but she'll get a kick out of her. Name was Kelly Harrop, and just the hardworking, very intelligent, great person. She interned with me last summer, And she had never shot a gun before, and her dad was an avid outdoorsman, huge hunter and everything. So she asked, she says, you know, not only am I working this with you, she said, but do you mind if I join a team and shoot? She said, I've never shot before. And I'm like, heck yeah, absolutely. So, you know, these kids, you know, we talked about them, you know, college age, you know, first thing she did was she had somebody snap a picture of her, you know, shooting at the sporting clay and then post it on Facebook and Twitter. And her dad immediately went on there and he said, Kelly, I've never been more proud of you than I am right now. That's wonderful. So it was awesome that she got to shoot in our sporting clay shoot, and her dad saw that. It was really cool, really cool. So we have a lot of fun doing it, and I know the guys really enjoy it.
Thrill of the sport, no doubt about it. Okay,
absolutely.
You know, we got a couple of minutes left here, and it seems like every month that I talk to you, or every other month, well, we have to do a legislature check. And I know they have to balance the budget by the end of this month or the end of June.
Yeah,
the end of June, June 30th.
Yeah.
By law,
yeah,
they have to do that. And, you know, they always throw their little late-night shenanigans in there. And you and I have talked about the attacks on prevailing wage, on right to work, and so on and so forth. Anything new? And I know there's been an, you know, introduction of bills on both of those topics. What do we know about prevailing wage?
In Ohio House, prevailing wage had a hearing, hasn't left out of committee. There's nothing in the budget. The House is done with the budget. It's went on to the Senate. So we'll have to just be diligent to make sure the Senate doesn't put anything that's anti-labor in there, but I can't see them doing that. The companion bill to do away with prevailing wage in the Senate, there's 33 senators, 24 Republican, 9 Democrat. There's only 3 sponsors to the bill out of 33, so it doesn't seem like it's getting a lot of traction. I don't know if it'll necessarily even have a hearing. So I'm hearing nothing but good things that the prevailing wage bill, doing away with prevailing wage, is not going anywhere. I'm hearing right to work that nobody wants to really entertain that. They still have the taste of SB5 fresh in their mouth from 2011, so they're kind of staying away from that as well. The one thing that concerns me that I think we're going to have to pay a lot of attention to after the budget bill is the workers' compensation bill. You know, there's a subcommittee there of Tim Berga from the AFL-CIO, Matt Slazy from ACT Ohio, and also, I'm drawing a blank, from the operating engineers. But anyway, and then the other part of the subcommittee is people from the Manufacturing Association and several chambers of commerce. So I don't know if we're going to be able to get anything done with that committee with workers' comp, but we have to stay diligent and we have to pay attention to that, because obviously we don't want anything coming out of there adverse that, A, hurts our members or the working people of the state of Ohio, but, B, that would make construction less desirable. When at the beginning of this interview, we're talking about all the work coming up, mm-hmm. baby boomers getting to retire. Not only do we have to replace the baby boomers, but we have to grow our ranks to keep up with the improving economy and also, you know, the population increase here in Central Ohio and throughout the state. There's going to be a lot more roads, bridges, hospitals, and everything, schools to build. So we need to be keeping everything good here in the state, not doing anything that's adverse that's going to make us hard to get people into these programs.
Now, you're in your capacity as head of the building trades down there. I mean, you, and I know you've been doing a lot of outreach to these members. Are they starting to understand this? I mean, what you just said to me speaks volumes. I mean, if you need people in the trades, and you're going to hurt them on workers' comp issues. I mean, obviously unions promote safety on the jobs, but, you know, accidents happen. If they're going to do something that's going to be detrimental, they got to understand that this is the wrong way to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing that speaks volumes, no matter what side of the aisle or what side of the legislature they're in, Republican, Democrat, House, or Senate. You know, when you talk to them about workforce development, you talk to them about providing a direct path to the middle class for people that live in their community, to give them the opportunity to make a good living so they can pay their taxes, send their kids to good schools. I mean, all those things resonate well with those people that represent those communities. So, you know, we just got to keep doing what we're doing, hammer on the workforce development side of the issue, and let them know that we cannot do anything detrimental in this state to make the construction industry or the building trades any less desirable. Not in a time of growth and need like we have right now. We should be taking advantage of it.
Oh, sure.
You know, like I said, all these kids that are in these schools and these trade programs, maybe even college, that maybe aren't sure if they want to be a teacher or want to be an accountant, but they have an appetite for construction, you know, carpentry, whatever, operating heavy equipment. You know, all these vets that we have coming back, you know, we've talked about that. All these vets that we have coming back that have all these skills and abilities that they learned when they were overseas defending our country, we need to put them to use and utilize those skills and abilities in our programs to be growing our industry and to be growing our unions and making our communities better.
Yeah, the need is there, no doubt about it. Well, Dorsey, I thank you so much for your passion on this issue. You enjoy some of the summer days. I know the weather's been compromising here, at least in northeastern Ohio, so you take care, okay?
You too, and I'll give you the 3 to concentrate on as you speak of summer. You ready? Everything comes in 3s, right?
Okay.
ABC, red, yellow, green, red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
The pool, some cold beverages, and Indians baseball, all right? Concentrate on those 3 until we talk again.
Let me write these down. The pool, cold beverages, and baseball. I'm going to make sure I have that highlighted here, okay?
Absolutely. We're heading into that season, so this is the time. So.
Okay, buddy. You take care.
All right. Have a great weekend. Thanks again, Flash.
You got it. Dorsey Hager, Executive Director of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You want to check those dates, go to columbusconstructiontrades.org. Quick break. When we come back, Julie Laurie will be joining us. She's going to tell us about a public-private partnership. They're talking about it anyway, to fight the opioid crisis. That's next right here on America's Workforce.